Welcome to the Victory in Living Ministries broadcast. We are Ray and Pam Jackson, and we're coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. In Psalms 138, 7 and 8, it says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me, you will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." And in Jeremiah 29 and 11, it reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and a time in the Word. But before we get into the lesson for today, let's ask Ray to come and to sing for us.
Just suppose God had searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to buy eternal life for you and me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Well, I'm so glad he was willing to drink his bitter cup. Although he prayed, "Father, let it pass from me." Well, I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels. "Oh, from my hands, pull these nails that torment me." Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary. Oh, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, oh, then forever my soul would be lost. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary. Oh, had it not been for the old rugged cross. Oh, had it not been for a man called Jesus. Oh, then forever my soul would be lost.
How true that song is, "Had it not been." Just think about it. If Jesus had chose not to come, where would we be today? And now it's time to continue with the lesson, The Established Heart.
He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and he stripped Satan of all his power and left him naked, helpless, before all the cohorts of hell. Don't you know Satan had a time there for a while trying to get the imps to do what he wanted them to do after he got whipped by someone that was supposed to have been dead. Real good there. When Jesus was raised up physically, now listen, this is powerful. He presented himself before the throne of the Almighty God, and he took his own blood and he sprinkled the heavenly utensils of worship. And he made that final sacrifice on the altar before God Almighty to pay for our sins and our unrighteousness, that we could be holy through him. And so then He turns, and then God turned to a reborn man named Jesus and said, "Thy throne, O God, is forever." And he anointed Jesus with the oil of gladness and handed him the scepter of righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Do you understand? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Why? Because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. So when the when God proclaimed him King of heaven and earth, Jesus returned to earth and said to his disciples, Matthew 28:18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Well, now, what did he do with this power? Did he take it back with him to heaven? No. He said, "Go therefore into all the world in my name and do these things." He took the power that was given him and he placed it in the hands of man. He then went to heaven and took his position at the right hand of the Father, and he seated there fully expecting his enemies to be made his footstools. And then when I was thinking about that, I thought, when God gave us the authority that Jesus took from Satan, it was our responsibility to keep Satan under our feet. Amen. Okay, you should not allow Satan to run your home. You should not allow him to lord over your finances, over the affairs of your life. Once you become established in your redemption, the redemption that Jesus obtained for you at a precious price, then you will refuse to allow Satan to have dominion over you. Amen. So when Jesus was made, the earth was made a footstool for Jesus, and we as believers have his power. Where's the feet? It's on the body. And who's the body? We're the body. So all of that mess is under our feet too.
Amen.
Keep our foot on the devil's head. I heard a preacher say, "Where's the devil supposed to be? He's supposed to be under your feet, not on your shoulder." Huh? Too many of us is walking around hearing what he's whispering in our ears when we're supposed to tell him, "Get behind me, Satan," and then we're supposed to reach back and step on him. Okay. Squish him like a bug.
Amen.
Then let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Okay. And we should all learn this scripture. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It is written, blessed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." I mean, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. "That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." We are redeemed from the curse of the law. Everybody say that. Say, "I am redeemed from the curse of the law." Now, next week, you need to read the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, starting in verse 15. And you'll see what all that was. You will see the things involved in this curse. You start at 15 and go through verse 61. And in verse 61, it says, "Every sickness, every plague, which is not written in this book." And that would cover everything from hangnails to tuberculosis to cancer to whatever other kind of sickness that the devil could think of and throw at us. All that was involved in the curse of the law. Now, if we're redeemed from it, if we're redeemed from it, then we have a right to refuse it.
Amen.
The price has been paid that we don't have to go through it. But there again, it's our choice. It's our choice. Okay, Galatians 3:29 tells us that our redemption was purchased by Jesus. "If you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Deuteronomy 28:1-14 tells us all the blessings of Abraham. Go and read it. Find out. It will work for you just as it will for me. And we have a legal right to be blessed by God.
Amen.
Legal right.
Legal right.
Legal right. When the devil comes and says, "That's not, you can't have," yeah, you got a legal right. Tell him, "I'm going to stick my lawyer on you." You know who your lawyer is? Jesus.
That's right.
Huh? "I'm going to stick my lawyer on you, Jesus." Okay, because it tells us that if an enemy comes against us one way, God will chase him away. How many? Seven. Seven ways. God said that he would make us the head and not the tail, and that we were to be above only. See, I missed that word for a long time. We're to be above only, not beneath.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wherever we're. So, well, how can I start at the bottom of the ladder and go up? Well, you're on the top of the bottom of the ladder.
That's...
Huh? You're on the top of the bottom of the ladder. Because there's always more than one person there. You're on the top of the bottom of the ladder, and you're going to the top of the top of the ladder.
That's right.
Amen? So you're to be above only and not beneath. So, what's... How is this affecting the life that you're living right now? We have to become fixed with the reality of our redemption. In Ephesians 1 and 22, it says that God has put all things under Jesus' feet. And like I said a while ago, we're the feet on the body, and the believers make up his body. Therefore, all principality and power has been placed under his feet. Therefore, all principalities and power are under you. You have an inheritance as a saint, and your redemption and authority are a part of this inheritance. You know what we have to learn to do? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Absolutely refuse to lay down and allow Satan to beat you up.
That's right.
A couple of weeks ago, we talked about having on the whole armor of God. Now, here's a humorous thought. How in the world, if you have on all that armor, are you going to lay down? Huh?
That's right.
You're going to have to take the armor off to get laid down.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're going to defeat him because we've got our armor on, and all, and we're going to say that we are redeemed of the Lord, and we're going to remind him that he's under our feet.
Amen.
And we're going to remind him that Jesus whooped him in front of his whole army.
Right.
So just who does he think he is?
Amen.
Amen? Okay. So that's the first revelation that we need to know, is the reality of redemption. The second reality is the reality of the new birth. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
Old, now I love this. This is one of my favorite verses. Old things are passed away, and what? Behold, all things are become new. Okay, I'm going to stop there. In one translation that uses the actual Greek, the rendition of it would be, we are a new species of being that never existed before. Now that's neat, you know, when we're talking about being a new creature. We are a new species of being that never existed before. So when he says he made you a new creature, he made you a new creature.
Amen.
Totally. Amen. This is what you became when you made Jesus Lord of your life. So quit dwelling in the old man. Quit allowing the devil to bring condemnation to you. You know, and I'm sure all of you know this, but I'm going to remind you again. Condemnation drives you away. Conviction draws you close.
Amen.
Conviction is brought on by a work that he's wanting to do within you. Condemnation is from the devil because it makes you feel dirty and guilty and unworthy, and it'll push you away from him. So judge those two and know whether it's from the Holy Spirit or whether it's from the devil. And react accordingly. So quit dwelling in the old man. He died when you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, and you become a new man created in the likeness of God. In 2 Peter 1 and 4, it tells us that we have been made partakers of the divine nature of God.
Amen.
Now, y'all forgive me for not taking time to read all these scriptures, but I would never get through. The nature of God is eternal life, and the actual life of God was imparted to our spirit at the new birth of Jesus. And he said in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Therefore, His life is the source of our ability. We're not limited to the things here on earth. We are not limited to natural human resources, but we are partakers of God's divine nature.
Yes.
Amen. Someone says, how can you do that? By God.
That's
yes.
Right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, there's you look at such, I'm telling you people, yeah, I said I was a youth director. Well, that's one thing to go to a church. You have 75 or 100 people, and so you got about 15 or 20 youth, you know. And I started out teaching when I was like 12, you know, and taught the little kids and went on up and then was youth director and played the piano. But now that was in a small setting. Okay? Now, the first time he put me in front of a large setting, it was a good thing we had a solid wood pulpit, because my knees, you know, and they said, don't be afraid of the mic, it won't bite. And I, you know.
Amen.
So, you know, so when someone is reacting like, I understand, I've been there, done that, have the t-shirt, you know, when Samantha ran the other Sunday morning, you know, I understood all that too, because when the shout,
yeah.
You know, I praise the Lord, I make a choice to praise the Lord, but when that shout gets so strong within me that I'm warning y'all ahead of time, you're going to think an Apache Indian's in the church building, you know, so just join me and we'll all have a good time, you know. But how do we do these things? Where did I finally get the courage to stand up and not shake and quake? Because I realized it wasn't me that was doing it, but that I was a vessel that I was allowing him to use. Mm-hmm. And it makes all the difference in the world, because now it doesn't matter what anybody likes the way I look, if they like what I say, as long as I have prepared what he has told me to prepare, and as long as I deliver it the way his anointing directs to be delivered, then it's okay.
Amen.
It's okay. So we do it through his ability, through his sources. We have his divine nature. We have his ability. We have his wisdom. We have his anointing, his power, his love, his faith. Wow. So how can we say that we're not successful?
No.
Huh? How can we say we're a failure? If we say we're a failure, we're saying God's a failure.
That's right.
Amen? So we've got his divine nature, and we've got to allow this become a reality in our lives. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Did you know that when God looks at us after you're a born again Christian, and when I got this revelation, I got so excited, I said, wow! Because when God looks at me, you know how he sees me? He sees me perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know why he sees me perfect? Because he sees me through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
So I know, even though I may not be perfect in everything I do on earth right now, I'm going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And when God looks at me, that's the way he sees me, because he sees me through the blood of Jesus. Okay, the revelation of the new birth in your spirit will cause these things to become a reality, and you will act accordingly. A lot of believers are being robbed of the blessings because they're not established in the new birth. They're allowing Satan to bring them things that they did before they accepted Jesus. Now, how many of you don't have to raise your hands, because I know every one of us could go back. How many times has Satan brought something back up to you from your past? You know. And it's usually right before God's got something really good for you to do. And Satan will bring it up. You know what? If you go ask Father God, oh God, I'm so sorry, I remember I done this, and you know what he's going to say? What are you talking about?
I
don't find anything like that on your page.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you know, they're living in condemnation, thinking that God does not love them. We are a new creature created in Christ Jesus. So we need to tell the devil, well, guess what, devil? I know what your end is. You know, and he gets really upset with you when you do that. thump him real good. You know, I mean, we have given as a society, we have given the devil more acknowledgement and more due lately than what Jesus is receiving. And if God would give me the right platform, the right place, I would let everybody know about this Harry Potter thing. That is one of the worst things. And my little daughter-in-law, she's a new Christian, and she picked up one of the books. She says, I'm going to read this so I know how to talk. I said, no, you put that book back on the shelf. I said, that's full of the devil. Yeah. And I said, a lot of people will pick it up and read it and will be deceived. I said, and my son was saying, he said, yeah, she's right, put it back on the shelf. But we need to pray, and we need to get our mouths open. Uh-huh. Tell people. Amen? Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Okay, and the third thing is the reality of being made the righteousness of God. Righteousness is an old English word that means right standing with God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knows no sin was made to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We have been made the righteousness of God. Romans 3:21-27 tells us about the righteousness. Verse 22 says, the righteousness of God which is by faith of Christ Jesus unto all and upon all them that believe. Now, when you think about it, we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ, and we need to be very accurate in our prayer life. And in 1 Peter 3:12, it says, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In the Amplified Version, it says like this, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Amen. And that is what the prayer of one righteous man will do. What do you think would happen if there was 2 or even 100 people praying a effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man? Okay, and we are the uncompromisingly righteous. We have to be in right standing with God, not compromise where the word is concerned. We need to lean hard on our righteousness with God. Now, I rushed through that one because we all know about the righteousness of God. Because this next one is so exciting. Number 4, reality of being God indwelled. I got excited when I read this. I know it, but when you read it again and you begin to put it together, it really just kind of excites you even more. Because there's 3 relationships between God and man. God for us, God with us, and God in us. God for us, God with us, and God in us. In the Old Testament, people of the Old Testament were constantly being reminded by God that he was for them, he was with them, but he wasn't in them. And can you imagine? Well, for instance, in Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will keep thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And can you imagine? You think about Elijah, you think about Moses, you think about Samson, you think about David, and all the rest. When the anointing come upon them, the wonderful, mighty acts that they done. Now, think about how much greater it would have been if they had him dwelling in you the same way that we have them dwelling in us. Did you know that is one of the things that I've asked God? Because we ought to be setting, including me, ought to be setting the world on fire. Because we have him in us, and then we also have the gift of the Holy Ghost with power and with fire. I mean, we ought to be like Wesley and all those old men of old. People, they said people just come, one of them said that the people said they just come to watch him burn. You know, I don't see anybody coming to watch any the power of God burning in any of us. You know, they're just kind of, well, I wonder why they're so down. down and out and gloomy and doomy and, you know. But we're supposed to be the light in the world. We're not supposed to be a candle that's hidden or a bushel that cannot be hid. But when we're God indwelled, that makes us little Jesuses.
Amen.
I know that some people say, oh, that's heresy. No, it's not, because it says in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. We are wall to wall Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Wow. Yeah, top to bottom, side to side. And when he comes upon you, if you want to shake and quiver and, you know, like they said, be a holy roller. I think what it was, I don't think the people knew how to handle the anointing, the power that was there. So, that, you know, they just... You know, so what?
That's right.
It's like my Ray said. He said, people will go to a football game and they'll scream themselves hoarse. But when they come to God, it's, praise you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Somebody say, you know, and the preacher says, somebody say amen. 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 Huh? Huh? Come on. We should be more excited about being in the house of God than we are about being at a football game. I'm not against football games. I'm not against that at all. You know, and like I've been taking my babies to some little children musicals, and when it's over, everybody stands up and gives a standing ovation and hoops and hollers and yee-haw, you know. But when we come to the house of God, when we receive a blessing, do we all stand up and give God glory and praise and hoop? No, we've got to be in order and decency, and no one dares get out of order. And, you know, after all, we may embarrass somebody that's a visitor. You know, I heard a preacher tell this one time, he had a church, and he got word that the most prominent man in the whole town was going to come visit that Sunday. And he had one brother that just was wild. I mean, he climbed the pews, he shouted, he hollered, he laid hands on people, the whole, you know, anything that could, you know. He said, oh, Jesus, please keep brother so-and-so calm this Sunday. Oh, Jesus, you know that we've tried so hard to get this man to come to church. Please don't let, you know. So the Sunday morning come, and sure enough, the big guy from the town come in, and oh, they had a good praise and worship service, and the Holy Ghost fell. Well, guess what? Brother so-and-so, he didn't quench the spirit. Well, he hopped and shouted and carried on, and all of a sudden the preacher looked and he said, no, God, no, because all of a sudden here was brother so-and-so right behind the man from the town, and he had his hand on him, he was a mess, and his hair up, and he was doing, and the preacher said, oh, God, I know I'm, oh, God. Well, when the altar time came, guess who was the first man down the altar? He came to the altar, and after it was all over and the preacher was talking, he said, I was looking for a church. Now, I'm not saying, you know, go up to someone, but he said, I was looking for a church that knew the true power of God that I had seen as a child. Now, if that man had quenched the Holy Spirit of God, it would have been just like any other dead, dried church, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Okay. I'm not going to go over them, but I'll give you the last two. The fifth reality of the is the authority in the name of Jesus. The sixth reality is the integrity of God's word. And the seventh reality is the God kind of faith.
It's that time again. Time to say goodbye. Now, I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries, 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Or you can email us at victoryinliving@aol.com or visit our website, Victory in Living Ministries, that's all one word, .org. Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.